With restrictions easing at different levels across the UK and the globe, we thought we'd take a look at sports. In particular, we're looking at golf. And we talk regularly with Scottish Disability Golf and Curling. Jim Gales is there to chat to us once again. Jim, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much, Alan.
Are things opening up gradually for golfers? Because you work a lot with all disabilities of golfer, really.
Yeah, it's taken a couple of months, but it's settling down into some sort of routine now with the golf. We've got golf competitions started around the end of June, really. A little tentative steps, and then sort of we're taking on a little bit of a rush now as we get into September. And then towards the end of the year, we've got an absolute mad rush right through until the middle, late October. So it's all coming together eventually, but there's a lot of, obviously, quarantine and isolation things that we've got to watch out for, because our members, both young and old, have just come out of shielding. So it takes a little bit of effort and a little bit of planning more than normal to get the competitions on the go.
We'll talk about the beginners, if you like, in just a moment. But for the more sort of experienced golfers, you do have, as you say, competitions which are being affected. You've got an Open coming up as well. Is that going ahead as it should, or are there changes there?
Almost is the best way of describing it. We've got the Open, which starts on the 8th of September, and that's going to be 3 days of competition for our established players, and they're coming from around the UK for this particular one. Numbers are well down compared to normal because of restrictions with golf carts and isolating and social distancing and all the buzzwords that are kicking around at the moment. But that's definitely going to go ahead. And then a week after that, we've got our Phoenix Cup, which was to be a competition between European players and American players. But obviously, in the situation, the Americans weren't allowed to come unless they could spend at least a couple of weeks in isolation and such like. So that got knocked on the head a little bit. And now what's happening is we've got players from around the UK and some from Europe, from countries which are not in isolation and haven't been quarantined. So again, a little bit of jiggery-pokery to get things moving along, but we've managed to do it in the end. So that starts on the 16th.
A bit of a movable feast then in terms of the tournaments you have, but you have also restarted sessions for people who perhaps have never played golf before, or perhaps they used to play in the past but for one reason or other they've had to give up, possibly their disability or sight loss, something like that, but they've started up again.
Yeah, again, a gradual, you know, taking small steps before we could run. But obviously the individuals who come along, whether they've played before or not, you know, they've got a match with a professional who has been willing to sort of do the social distancing and try and give them instruction at the same time on how to hold the club and how best to make a good solid swing. But we are getting back. We've got a couple of group sessions with professionals coming up, one in the east and one in the west of Scotland, and we're planning more. But that's been our priority this year, is to get people involved, get them along to have a go at the golf. And we provide a grant program where new members and old can go along to a PGA professional, get a little bit of tuition, have a coffee, relax, and find out how they want to approach the game, whether they want to play competitive or just come along maybe once a month, twice a month to have another bit of practice, or nine holes even. You know, they can do exactly what they wish. And what we do, especially with our blind and vision impaired players, again, whether they're new or old, is to get them along, give them some lessons, but also give lessons to the sighted guide. We provide a grant scheme for them as well. There's no point in trying to, you know, put all the emphasis onto the blind or vision impaired person. We want the guides to enjoy themselves as well. So getting the guides to have a lesson, try and hit the ball, chip shots, drive and things like that. And it always gives the blind and vision impaired person a bit of a laugh as well, to see that the guides can mess things up as well as anybody else.
You know, we often talk about the social side of it as well. I suppose that's been impacted a little bit too, but there's still, you know, opportunity for people to sort of meet new friends and stay in touch.
Indeed. That's why we created our hubs, and our hubs are scattered around the country, and they're gradually coming back to some sort of normality. But a lot of the golf clubs, driving ranges and facilities have different rules as well, because they're all different sizes and different catering arrangements and such like. So that can take a little bit of planning. you know, not everybody's obliged to come along and have a lesson, spend time on the range or with the professional. A lot of it is just to come along, have a coffee and a sort of snack, and meet the rest of the boys and girls who are out there trying to figure out this wonderful game of golf.
Jim, I'm sure there's people who would love to get involved and have a go at it, even if they've never lifted up a club before. What's the best way to get in touch for all the latest information?
Definitely the best way of getting in touch with Scottish Disability Golf and Curling is through our website. Social media contacts, email and phone is all centred through that, scottishdgc.org.uk.
Jim, thanks very much once again for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Cheers, Alan. All the best.